You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Update the poll results. Ryan Clark from the Mothership will join us coming up. Also, we'll bring back a couple of answers that Chris Collinsworth had. He had great analysis on Josh Allen and habits that he kind of fell back into because he's a young quarterback during that game last night. And also what Chris had to say about the Packers' decision to kick the field goal with 2 minutes to go. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Update the poll results, McLovin.
Okay, who is going to get back to the Super Bowl first, Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers? Still Josh Allen, 56%. How about switching up? Do you want to save it, or can we do where is Matthew Stafford going to land?
Ooh. Now, I was wondering this. The Colts have, I think, the 21st overall pick in this year's draft. Not too high, not too low. If I said to the Lions, you can have the 21st pick for Matthew Stafford, would you do it if you're the Lions? Would you do it if you're the Colts? If I'm the Colts, absolutely. You got a team that's ready to win now. And you bring him in, and that is a upgrade. Even though Phillip Rivers played well, I think Matthew Stafford gives you a stronger arm. He's 33. But I think the key in all of this, according to a source, is the medicals on Matthew Stafford. When teams bring him in, just how healthy is he? Because he might be an old 33. And that could change things. But I did, as a source said, after I said, first of all, why would the Lions give up their leverage and say, hey, we're parting ways with him, and what would you give for him? And my source said probably a 2 and a 4. I don't know if I'd give a first-round pick for Matthew Stafford. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, your Lions also had the 7th pick of the draft, which is on the cusp of being in play for one of the top few quarterbacks. If they've traded that pick and acquired the pick from – you know, the Colts, maybe they can move themselves up or build around.
Yeah.
Option.
You still might be able to get somebody, but you don't just get a quarterback. You get your quarterback. That's why I always think teams make mistakes where they go, well, I don't know. We got to get a quarterback. Take him. No, take the guy that you think you need. If not, then get somebody else who makes the most sense. Yes, McLovin.
If word gets out that Stafford could be had for around then Chicago's a 20, probably in division. Washington's a 19.
Yeah, but they might not trade him to Chicago.
Right, but what about Washington at 19, New England at 15, Vegas at 17? Then, man, there are a lot of – this poll had a lot of teams on there.
All right, let me bring in Ryan Clark of the Mothership, the former defensive back, and kind enough to join us here on short notice. Do you want to start AFC or NFC there, Ryan?
Listen, it's your show, Dan, man. I'm just honored to be on. I start where you tell me.
All right. Let's start with the approach the Buffalo Bills had last night. And what does Tampa learn from what Buffalo did or didn't do?
That you can't stop them no matter what you pick. You think about what Tampa did when they played Kansas City the first time. They did what we've seen them do throughout the playoffs. They went man-to-man. They were single-high safety, and Patrick Mahomes carved them up for over 400 yards. And so the Buffalo Bills went back to something they did in Week 6, right, where Patrick Mahomes was checking off to runs, and they ended up rushing for over 200 yards, but they kept the score down. They only scored 26. What did he do differently this time, though? He went to the catch and run. He allowed Travis Kelce. He allowed Tyreek Hill to get the ball in space and have opportunities to create bigger plays. He got outside the pocket and created second play opportunities. And so it's kind of pick your poison when you play against the Kansas City Chiefs. Your hopes are he gets it out of his hand fast enough to not create big plays. But if you can't tackle on the back end, which the Buffalo Bills didn't do last night, you're in trouble. And so I think you have to have a mixture of that. But more than anything, Dan, he can't read your mail before the play. If Patrick Mahomes knows where to go with the football right away, if he knows if you're in single high safety, or if he knows if you're in cover two, and he can get the ball out of his hands quickly, those guys that catch the ball, those skilled players, are much too good to contain. And so Todd Bowles has a hard decision on his hands.
Okay, but you're a defensive player. You couldn't go into a game as a player going, we have no chance of stopping them. Right? You wouldn't go in. Or maybe you would. Have you ever gone into a game where you went, we have no chance of stopping this quarterback or this offense?
You know, absolutely not. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won't feel that way at all. You know, even Carlton Davis, who was burned for 200 yards in the first quarter against Tyreek Hill, he's going to step up and feel like he can do better this time, especially after matching up pretty well with Devontae Adams yesterday. But Tyreek Hill is different. Travis Kelce is different. And so this is a game where you need your defensive coordinator to help you. This is a game where you need your offense to run the football and keep Patrick Mahomes off the field as much as possible. You don't just defend Patrick Mahomes with 11 people playing defense. You defend him with your team. You defend him with your strategy, with your scheme. And so, yeah, you feel like you can go out there and play. But I'm going to tell you this. In 2010, when Aaron Rodgers was at the height of his Aaron Rodgers-ness, we go to the Super Bowl, and we played extremely well. There were plays I planned to get interceptions. There were things Coach LeBeau knew, and we knew exactly what was coming, and we were right there, able to make the play. And his throw was better. The placement was better. The velocity was better than we were. And sometimes that's what you – nope, I'm not even going to say sometimes. Most of the times, that's what you run into when you play Patrick Mahomes, and many teams have seen that the last 2 years in the playoffs.
But can you – I don't know if you disguise when you're going to double cover Kelce or when you're going to double cover Tyreek Hill, because you can't double cover both of them. But so – how do you pick your poison each series or each play or, you know, each quarter?
You know, that's what these 2 weeks are about, right? These 2 weeks are about understanding where they get the football and when they get it in the most important moments. And you can double them, and you can disguise when you double it. And you also know that you have Levante David and you have Devin White, right? Maybe the best linebacking core in the NFL, definitely top three. And you look at that and you say, you know what? It's going to be your job to handle Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's going to be your job to handle Darrell Williams. We're not going to stack the front. We're not going to put eight people in the box. If they choose to run it, we feel like our guys are better than their guys up front. And so if you do have to call a play, which we called in Pittsburgh, was double the stars, right? If you played a team that had two threats, if it was Rob Gronkowski and Wes Welker, right, and you know you're going to double the stars with a backer and a safety, you're going to lean a safety to Tyreek Hill, then you do those type of things. You just have to do it timely. And it's not necessarily about disguising it, because sometimes I want you to know I'm doubling Tyreek Hill, so you just throw it somewhere the hell else. I want you to know I'm doubling Travis Kelce, so you throw it somewhere the hell else. And I think Todd Bowles is going to have to figure out when is the right time to play too high, single high, double blitz, because if he catches you and he knows it's coming, there's nothing you can do to stop it.
What's it like when you're on the field with somebody you know is a whole lot faster than you? Like Tyreek Hill seems like he's a whole lot fast. Do you have a guy that you played against where you went, that guy's a whole lot faster? Oh, okay.
Chris Johnson, and it didn't even take any thought. There's a play the year after we win the Super Bowl, Dan, and this is coming off of the offseason. It's the first game. It's a Thursday night game, you know, the coronation of the reigning champs, and we're playing cover two, so I'm kind of backside about 9 yards off the ball, and they start with run away from me. And so with run away, I had to cut back, right? So I couldn't overrun the ball. He starts back toward us. He cuts back to the backside. And I'm 9 yards from the line of scrimmage. Chris Johnson is still behind the line of scrimmage, but I see that he's going to get outside. I didn't take a 45-degree angle. I turned my body directly to the goal line he was going to, and I started running and not looking at him. Because I understood I wasn't going to catch him. The only reason I turned around, Dan, was so when the film came on, Coach LeBeau could say, great effort, RC. The only thing that helped me is that Troy played on our team, and he was somehow on game day the fastest person in the world, and he ended up catching him 40 yards down the field. So the moral to the story is Chris Johnson ran by me and Troy Polamalu all at the same time. When I knew I was only running to show that I had worked out in the offseason because I wasn't catching it.
It's Ryan Clark of the Mothership joining us. I love what you tweeted out about Scotty Miller. Ryan tweeted out, Scotty Miller's not like any of those New England receivers. I'm tired of telling folks that. Nothing about number 10 says bring his lunch pail. First in, last out. Coach on the field. Reads the zone. Dude is a burner. Address him as such. LOL. You should have tweeted that to Kevin King prior to the game because he forgot that Scotty Miller was a track guy. This isn't Wes Welker or Julian Edelman.
Yes. Well, you know what happened? What's funny is I tweeted that before the play at the end of the second quarter. So this was, I don't know, I think they replaced Cameron Brate with Scotty Miller, and he runs out, and they throw him the ball, and, you know, Troy is going off about Julian Edelman and Wes Welker, you know. And listen, guys, I try not to bring race into things, but sometimes racial bias plays a part. And this wasn't my racial bias. It was Troy's. Troy saw a short little white guy, and he thought all those other dudes that had ever played with Tom Brady. He is not that dude. This is the dude that when you do go to the track meet, and I hope I can say this on your show, when you do go to the track meet and he wins the 4x1 by coming back from last place and beating all the other black dudes on the track, they say, hey, man, y'all seen that white boy? That's who Scotty Miller is. He's that fast. He's that explosive. And he will embarrass you. And so I don't know what we have to do to get scouting reports around the world changed, but this is – he's none of those people. Now, he may do all those things. He may be first in, first out. He's also first to finish every sprint at practice. He's the fastest guy on the team. He's a deep ball threat. And had Kevin King read my Twitter or had he had his phone on the sideline, maybe he wouldn't have been beat deep.
I think I need a faster name for him, Ryan. Like – Scotty Miller doesn't. I mean, that doesn't sound like a fast guy.
I think it does. I mean, think about it. Chris Johnson, that's a fast name. You know.
Well, no, he had a great nickname though.
Oh yeah, we do. I mean, White Lightning would obviously be probably too racist too easy.
How about Smoke Miller?
But John Brown is Smoke in Buffalo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but he's not in the playoffs, so he can.
There's only two teams left in the playoffs. I don't know what other like jungle cat is as fast as a cheetah either, because Tyreek's already playing on the other side.
The decision by the Packers to go for the field goal. I can only tell you what I thought in real time, and I didn't understand the sequence of plays. If you know you're going to go for it on fourth down, I got to change what I'm going to do for the other three downs, but. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what you saw and if you agreed with what the Packers were trying to do.
Absolutely did not agree with what the Packers were trying to do. I think when you get in that position, Dan, you say this is four down territory, and now you start to call your plays according to that. Obviously, you have the miss on the miscommunication on the slant. Then you have second down. Then on third, you know, we're trying to decide whether Aaron Rodgers runs or does whatever. But I think if you call your plays differently, you're not in a position where you're thinking of going for 4th and 8 or 4th and 9. You're closer to the goal line, and you can make those plays. The other thing that's confusing for me is you hear so many times when people are in the red zone, they get a penalty, and you say, oh, the playbook now opens up. How come the playbook was closed all of a sudden? And you have Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure if you ever watched The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Dan, but here's what I thought about. What he essentially did was what Colton did on the last shot of the game when he stole the ball from Will Smith. He didn't give him a chance. And if you remember, Colton threw that ball over the basketball goal. And that's what happened. When you kick that field goal and now you're depending on your defense, who has Kevin King on it, who played terrible all day, you've taken the ball out of the best player on your team's hand, probably the MVP this season. And what struck me most about this is the reason you're losing, the reason you're down at least a touchdown, is because Bruce Arians trusted his Hall of Fame quarterback and put him back on the field late in the second quarter, and they pick up a fourth down, and then they throw that football to Scotty Miller to score. You have to have that same type of gumption, those same type of guts. You got to go win it in that moment. And to make that decision, even when the analytics tell you it's not that big of a change if you go for the field goal or not, is unacceptable.
Did you ever get a pick against Brady?
Of course not. Brady beat our butt like every time. We beat him one time, and it was one of the happiest moments of my regular season life. No. He was actually – I will give him this. I got the opportunity to talk to him my last year. We were in Washington. We were playing him. He was actually highly complimentary of me and Troy. But I will say this. The year Troy and I were both out was the year Anthony Smith guaranteed a win against the undefeated Patriots. He throws a touchdown, a bomb. He throws a long pass and runs 60 yards. Anthony Smith ended up being the guy beat on a play run 60 yards to stand in front of Anthony Smith and tell him about his guarantee. And when I saw that, like, it was like the realest moment to me, because I was like, here he is, this, you know, 6th-round pick, a guy from California, extremely classy, extremely distinguished, and he chose to run 60 yards he didn't have to tell somebody about keeping their mouth closed. And that's when I gained a lot of respect for the competitor Tom Brady was.
What do you think Aaron Rodgers was saying after the game about his future in Green Bay?
I think this was the first time, because of the way things ended, Aaron Rodgers let himself look at the draft pick of Jordan Love in totality. I think he tried his best to be a great teammate. He tried his best to be a great leader. And I think because he understood that the perception of him was that he wasn't going to do that. The perception of him was that he was going to make it hard on Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. So I think he fought that all season, and I think he found some joy in that. And I believe you get to this position, you don't win the NFC Championship. Your coach doesn't allow you to go for it on fourth down, and then you start to let everything weigh on you. You know, the pick, not getting an extra weapon, not giving me the opportunity to go on fourth down, maybe not having a chance to have an extra playmaker to help me win this game. And you say, you know what? This may not be the place for me. But that's emotion talking. I think he steps away and realizes he's 26-6 in the last two seasons, and he's been to the NFC Championship twice, and he'll probably settle down and understand, let's go try to get another run at this.
Would you want Matthew Stafford if you're a contender and you need a quarterback?
I would. I think Matthew Stafford is one of the more underrated players of his generation. It's because he's been in Detroit his whole life. It's because he necessarily hasn't had the pieces around him to win. This is a guy with as much arm talent and plenty arm talent to win football games. Obviously, we've seen the type of toughness that this man has because of the beatings he's taken. I think you have to be the right team. You know, if I'm the San Francisco 49ers, somebody I look at. If I'm the Washington football team, it's a quarterback I look at. If I'm the Indianapolis Colts, he's a quarterback I take a look at. I don't know if those teams have what the Detroit Lions will want to get him, but he's definitely a viable choice as a starting quarterback in this league.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just a first-round pick, Ryan, because if they decide – why did they announce publicly that they're parting ways? Why do you lose leverage, don't you?
I think you definitely lose leverage, because if I'm another team out there, I say, well, if we don't have the trade capital or want to give up the trade capital it will take to get him, then they're going to probably just release him anyway. Why not play that game? Why not play the free agent game? Or maybe there's a team that wants him so much, believes he's so vital to their success, or believe that they're one Matthew Stafford away from winning a championship that does come with what's needed or what Detroit wants to get him. I think that for me, I don't announce it. Or maybe you just announce it so teams know that Matthew Stafford has the ability to start talking about a trade and what that would look like for him and for the Detroit Lions.
In case I don't talk to you before the Super Bowl, who do you got?
As long as Patrick Mahomes is alive, I'm probably going to pick him to win every single game he plays in. So I got the Chiefs.
You're going to bet against Tom Brady?
I am, okay. But not with real money.
Hey, you're doing great. We appreciate you joining us, and hope to have you on again. Thank you, Ryan.
Man, thank you so much.
That's Ryan Clark. That's fun. I like when they're reading your mail as a way of knowing what you're going to do. You know, when they're reading your mail, I'm like, okay, I like that. All right, we'll take a break. It's 20 after the hour. A couple of comments from Chris Collinsworth I want to bring back. I thought he had some really, you know, interesting things to say about Josh Allen. When younger quarterbacks get in trouble, they revert back to bad habits. And also, Chris breaks down the Packers' decision to kick a field goal in the final 2 minutes. So we'll revisit that and more of your phone calls as well. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Get a great night's sleep. Quality sleep more important than ever as we balance life and health in 2021. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but it also helps with energy and recovery. You know, you want to eat right, you sleep right, you work out. You know, it's a great cycle to get into. And it also helps having a great bed. You know, I should have said that from the beginning because I have the 360 Special Edition Smart Bed. My sleep number setting is 100. Proven quality sleep, life-changing sleep. And those who have this bed get more sleep. It's scientifically proven. They have the Sleep IQ technology. And they found that that has gained, and the sleepers have gained an average of 53 hours of restful sleep compared to last year by those who have Sleep IQ technology. Now, you can check out the sales they have. Save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed for a limited time only. Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Well, there's going to be a Pro Bowl this year, sort of. It's going to be a virtual Pro Bowl using Madden NFL 21. That's this Sunday. Next Sunday. So Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, Jamal Adams, Derrick Henry will be among the real-life participants. They will be controlling the AFC and the NFC. The virtual Pro Bowl using Madden NFL 21, that will be on Sunday. The Pro Bowl will be hosted by Carissa Thompson and Michael Strahan and streamed on the EA Madden NFL Twitch channel. You excited about that? Watching guys play Madden?
I'm virtually excited.
Yeah. Oh, they keep trying with the Pro Bowl. COVID certainly didn't help. But nobody's going to get hurt here. Yes, McLovin.
Will this change anyone in the room's habits? I am excited to not watch it like I do every year. I mean, we've had the Pro Bowl over our head in restaurants before at Super Bowl week and not even glanced up.
That is true. We were in a restaurant. Half of us could see the Pro Bowl and half of us couldn't. But those who couldn't see didn't say, hey, change seats with me. Hey, I want to be able to see that Pro Bowl there. The only thing I cared about with the Pro Bowl is Drew Brees' kids on the sidelines having their own game of football.
Pounding each other senseless?
Yes. I love that. That Drew is in the Pro Bowl and his wife is probably going, oh my God. You know, the kids are on the sidelines rolling around. I think two of them went out on the field and were tackling each other. That was my favorite moment of the Pro Bowl. Probably not what the NFL wants to hear. Yes, Paul.
The NFLPA might want to be careful here. They do a Madden virtual Pro Bowl, and then all of a sudden the NFL says, look, now we don't have to pay players anymore. We just have these little digital guys running around. No injuries.
Or we have the kids of the players play in the Pro Bowl. Chris Collinsworth was with us in the first hour, and we touched on a variety of things, including Josh Allen. Because if I'm a Bills fan, I would be proud of what this team accomplished. If I said at the beginning of the year, you're going to the AFC title game but going to lose, you would have signed up and not had any problem with that. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, I don't know. I still wouldn't be happy today if I was a Bills fan.
Yeah, I think after a while, you know, the initial, not shock, because you're not shocked that you lost, but I think like that initial, we did lose, and now you start to look ahead to next season. If I'm the Browns, I feel the same way. Look, we went into Kansas City. We lost. We played okay. We had a good season. It seems like we have a good relationship with coach and quarterback here. And the same with Buffalo. But I asked Chris Collinsworth about Josh Allen and when he gets into bad habits. And we saw this last night.
Young quarterbacks, when they're in big moments or in really tough situations or under pressure, do the same thing. They scramble right. Scramble right is a sign of we have to improve this, right? Patrick Mahomes is just as good going to his left scrambling as he is to the right. When you scramble to one side of the field, especially to the right side of the field, defenses have seen that so much. Now, Josh has the ability to throw it all the way back across the field, a la a John Elway or somebody like that. But for the most part, you're taking a third of the field away from what the defense has to cover. And in addition, you're also telling them, if we bring any kind of pressure off the left side at all, he's going to move to his right. So you can begin to play that a little bit more.
So that's Chris. And I thought it was an interesting breakdown of younger quarterbacks. It's a tell. If we're playing poker, and I know when you get nervous, you do this, that's what Josh Allen did last night. Quarterbacks, they're, you know, almost all of them are right-handed, so you're going to roll right, and that's just your comfort level. It's the quarterback who can roll left, as we see with Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. You know, the greats of the game are able to do this. Collinsworth also broke down the Packers' decision to kick the field goal instead of go for the touchdown in the final 2 minutes.
It was just outside the two-minute warning. So you're going to have three timeouts, and you're going to have a two-minute warning, right? So effectively four timeouts. So now you're also in a position where no matter what you do, if you kick a field goal, the goal is still the same. You still have to score a touchdown. Under no circumstances do you not have to score a touchdown in that situation. So you're going to take two shots at scoring a touchdown. You're going to take it on fourth down, and if you make it, two-point conversion. But more importantly, if you miss it, if you don't score the touchdown there, you're leaving Tampa and Tom Brady the ball on the 7 or 8 yard line, wherever they were in that situation. I can just tell you, being inside your own 10-yard line with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line is so significant in what you can do defensively, your play calling, how you attack it, the whole thing. So there should have been – so they played for one shot and a touchdown that would have won the game as opposed to needing a two-point conversion. So, I mean, let's not – the guy's not crazy, right? I mean, there is a thing. But there's no way in that set of circumstances, if they had the right analytics team with them, they don't tell, Matt, you got to take the shot for two touchdowns here.
Also, understand the breakdown here of the pressures on Brady and on Rodgers. Brady was pressured 5 times by Green Bay's defense. Rodgers was pressured 21 times. That's a huge disparity, obviously. And for a home game with Green Bay, David Bakhtiari is very valuable. We didn't know he was going to be that valuable. We don't think about linemen until they get injured, and then we wonder who's replacing them. And you just are made aware of, I'm sure, Eric Fisher, the longtime tackle with the Chiefs, torn Achilles. He's not going to be in the Super Bowl. And if you're Todd Bowles in that Tampa defense, you're going to dial up the pressure as much as you can the way you did against Aaron Rodgers, and why not? I think you just have to live and die by that, because if I allow Patrick Mahomes to, he might not get the big play, but he is going to surgically carve me up. I'm going to take my chances. I want him uncomfortable. I want to hit him. I want to make him run on that toe that's a turf toe. And then I got to put pressure offensively on their defense as well. I think that would be the approach that I would want to have with Tampa. I can't be conservative on either side of the ball. Yeah, Paul.
I was thinking about this when Collinsworth said that the Packers need someone like an advisor, analytics advisor, who tells the head coaches, this is what you have to do here. I got to thinking, maybe that's who told the coach what to do there. Maybe some analytics person said, if you kick a field goal here, because I saw people said that your win probability goes from 25 to 27. But I don't know if that factors in who the other quarterback is.
But also keep in mind, Chris Collinsworth has a piece of the company Pro Football Focus, which is an analytics company. And maybe he's saying, I wonder if the Packers would consider Pro Football Focus to help them with decisions
right.
like this.
I'm curious if they went analytics yesterday. In their mind, that 2.5% was a gain.
Here is Patrick Mahomes on going to the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be a great experience for me. I mean, to go out there and have a chance to repeat and get to do it against the best. I mean, it's something special, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
Yeah, technically, it's not the 150th Super Bowl for Brady. It just feels like that. 10 Super Bowls. 10 Super Bowls. It's LeBron-like. What's the percentage of Brady going to play for a championship and the percentage for LeBron playing for a championship? I'm curious, with the number of seasons and number of times you've gone in to the Super Bowl.
I know that there's a thing going around on social media right now that Tom Brady's percentage, his chance of playing for a championship, is better than Steph Curry hitting a three-pointer. It's like Tom Brady's, he's played in his career – like 47% of the years he's played, he's been in the Super Bowl. And Steph Curry right now is shooting 43% from three.
Yes, Paulie.
Has LeBron been in nine NBA finals? Yeah. So he's 9 for 17 for his career.
And what's Tom, 10 for 20?
10 for 21?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. 10 for 21?
So LeBron's over 50%, not including this year, of course.
Kirk in Illinois. Hey, Kirk, what's on your mind?
No, hey, Dan.
Hey, bud.
Just calling to give you my best and the worst of the weekend.
All right.
Best of, the Packers and Rodgers are out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the worst is, who is Sean Desai for the Bears defense?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know. That's why you have the score in Chicago. Listen to them. They can help you with that. We're breaking down coordinators here. Brian in Utah. Hi, Brian. What's on your mind today?
Just a quick question for you, Dan. With Tom Brady being in the Super Bowl, does he get to go home every night, or are they going to be in a hotel like they normally would? And if he is in a hotel or is able to go home, who gets to keep that money that the NFL has to pay for the hotel?
I can try to get some of my best people on that, Brian. But I don't know. Usually what happens is teams will stay in a hotel. Well, normally at a Super Bowl, you stay in a hotel. But let's say this were just a home game for Tampa Bay. You might stay in a hotel the night before. But I don't know if everybody from Tampa is going to be able to go home. I'm assuming they are. Yeah, McClellan.
I think they changed when the other Super Bowl team is going to get there.
Well, basically, it's 2 days before.
That's crazy, isn't it? So there really is no Super Bowl week as we know it in any form whatsoever.
Well, it seems like it's a smart thing to do,
yeah,
in my opinion. Given what's happening.
Absolutely.
Laura in Boston. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Dan. How are you?
Great. What's on your mind?
Best and worst. Well, first of all, I'm a lifelong Bears fan, and so it was awesome to see the Packers lose and be out of the Super Bowl. And then, but the worst, now that I'm living in Boston, is after Tampa Bay won, I had to listen to drivers and cars honk up and down the street all night long.
Thank you, Laura. Oh, I like how Bears fans are happy today because Aaron Rodgers and the Packers lost. And yep, there's still a lot of Tom Brady fans in New England there. Cassidy in Nevada. Hi, Cassidy.
Hi, Dan. I wanted to give a worst and best of the weekend. Okay. And the worst is that I fell down some stairs and I broke my Dan Patrick Show mug, coffee mug handle that my husband gave me for my last birthday, into several pieces. But the best is that he super glued it back together for me, and it appears to be holding.
Well, Cassidy, stay on the line because I'm going to give you the coffee mug that I have right on my desk.
Game here. Used?
Well, no, I didn't use it.
Oh.
No. But
maybe they'd want that. Have a couple sips.
Well, I had my water in it, but it's show used. Show used. Look, she had it, hers broken. I mean,
it's very thoughtful.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for, Paul. Man.
No, I'm saying, though, people want game used. Remember you used to give out game used or show used SportsCenter ties?
Yes.
For charity.
Yeah.
You'd have a rack of them in your office.
Yeah.
And they had mail. Where did they be mailed out to?
Yes. Yeah. People would ask me about my ties. I have two or three of the Super Bowl ties that I wore. So I have pictures in the man cave, and then I kept the ties that I wore. I got so much grief for some reason when the Steelers won, I wore an orange tie. And then people were critiquing that I wore an orange tie. And I went, my wardrobe person at NBC, Amy, gave it to me. I guess I had veto power, but I chose not to. I didn't want to break her heart on game day. I mean, she was sort of out there by proxy with me because she gave me the tie. Mike in California, then we'll take a break. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind today?
Hey, morning, Danny boy.
Morning.
Dan, how's everyone doing today?
Great.
Hey, I got a best and worst of the weekend for you. Starting off, I know it was Friday, but I don't think Hank Aaron's legacy could be overstated, and him passing was a real bummer. Grew up a huge Giants fan. I was 9 years old when Barry Bonds was chasing 755, and he really handled that situation with class.
Yeah, he did.
Best of the weekend, I stumbled across on the mothership, Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann package as this is SportsCenter commercials. And thought that was awesome to see. I got a question for you off of that.
Okay.
Which body of work, when it comes to acting, do you take more pride in? Is it your numerous events with This Is SportsCenter or your work with The Sandman? Thanks for answering the question. Love the show. Love you guys.
Thank you, Mike. As a thespian, as an actor, I would say the true acting form that I would be in a movie, not in a promo. So, I mean, I'm proud of everything. Don't get me wrong. But to be there in a movie and to act on the big screen.
What's your favorite curse word?
When you get to work with Rob Schneider and David Spade, that's a film, not a movie. I'm so lucky to be able to do that. When I was there with Nikki, you may know her as Nicole Kidman, and I was able to talk to her about our craft.
To have the courage to make such a movie, to make such a film, to have the bravery.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of, like, award ceremony. Oh, to be the brilliance, to be so brave.
Yes.
To make such a compelling
Nobody wanted film. To do this, but I did. I chose to be a police officer with a mustache.
You are so generous. You just... I'm standing up here because of you, and then they cut to the crowd, and that person's going, no, it's you. No, it's you.
I could not have done this without my family. Actually, I did do it without my family. We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. I watched the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO. There's a two-part series. I don't know if there are more parts coming up to the series. I didn't want to watch it because I think I already knew everything in there. I probably didn't know the role that Tiger's dad was playing behind the scenes, and it was sad. You know, I feel like we built Tiger up and then he didn't live up to what we wanted him to be. And then we just piled on. And then, of course, you know, we're hypocrites. And then when he came back, then we're like yelling and screaming and cheering because we got to see Tiger Woods win at the Masters. But it's not a simple story. It just isn't. And there's so many layers and what went on and with his family and how his dad viewed him and how his mom viewed him. And I just don't think he ever had a childhood. I don't think he ever lived what is considered a normal life. And then your dad's looking at you as if you're almost some religious figure there. I don't know. I begrudgingly watched it. And I didn't really learn much from it. But it's well done. But I think it's more, you'll probably take something away about his dad that you didn't think or didn't know or didn't expect. And however that screwed up Tiger. Look, I'm not making any excuses. But I think if you listen to this show throughout that whole period, I kept saying, if this has something to do with him as a golfer, then I will address it. But to talk about who he was dating or what he was doing, we don't choose to do that with other athletes. And until it took him off the course and affected his play, that was the only thing that I cared about. Not that that makes me, you know, some kind of knight in shining armor. It's just I wanted to be fair to him, the athlete, because 99% of the time we focus on you, the athlete. If something happens off the field or off the court and it affects you on the field or on the court, then it feels like that's a little bit more fair game. Yeah, see.
It really was sad watching it. And like I'm emotional anyway as it is. I'm a crier, especially since I became a father. But watching the end of it, I definitely got emotional. But it was powerful. It was really powerful. The last like 5 minutes or so, man.
Yeah. I mean, to me, he's the greatest golfer ever. I mean, he just is. Just because he doesn't have more majors than Jack doesn't mean that Jack is, you know, the greatest golfer of all time. I mean, what Tiger did and how he did it, who he did it against. But look, that's, you know, that six one, half a dozen the other. I mean, Jack's a wonderful ambassador for the sport. Tiger's just awkward. If you've ever been around him, even when we've interviewed him, he's not an easy interview. He's just awkward. But I did, you know, I felt for him, you know, in this, because he made mistakes. He paid. When you see him when he is in jail and he's got handcuffs on and he is on meds, he's stoned. He has no idea. He thinks when he gets pulled over that he's in California. And they said, this is Florida. Like that's so, so, so low. They have video of this.
Trying to tie his shoes.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like
he wants to, he wants to tie his shoes.
Dang.
I mean, that's the same Tiger Woods. But now he's out for a little while longer with minor back surgery, and he's going to miss a couple events, West Coast swing, and, you know, hopefully he gets away, you know, come back. And that's why I just wanted people to see one more time just what he was. It's not necessarily who he is, but it's a what. And just to see that greatness one more time. And you got to see that at the Masters. So I would recommend it. Even if you know what the story is, you know, there's a lot of Armin Katayan, who was one of the producers of it. They did a great job. There's a lot of stuff in there. A lot of stuff. And they got one of his main girlfriends to sit down, and I think that's, you know, I don't think she had done any interviews for 10 years. This day in sports history, Paulie.
2003, the Tampa Bay Bucks won Super Bowl XXXVIII in San Diego. John Gruden was 39 years old, youngest ever. 98, Denver Broncos beat the Green Bay Packers 31-24 in Super Bowl 32, I think. Let's see. New York Giants defeated the Denver Broncos in 87, 39-20 in Super Bowl 21. And in 1981, the Oakland Raiders beat the Philadelphia Eagles 27-10 in Super Bowl 15.
Yes, McClubbin.
They kind of cheated with all the stick-em, as I recall, in the highlights. Lester Hayes, right?
Why didn't the Eagles use stick-em?
Good question.
Yeah, I never knew that when people go, oh, the Raiders cheated. Lester Hayes had stick-em. I go, why didn't everybody else use stick-em? Oh, let's go around the room, what we learned on the program. Chris Sims will join us on the program tomorrow, and we'll check in on the Packers as well. Todd, what'd you learn today?
The Lions seem to lose everything else, so why not lose leverage as well by making it public you and Matthew Stafford are parting ways?
I don't know what that advantage is unless, hey, we're letting everybody know. Make us an offer for Matthew Stafford. Yeah, we'll make you an offer because you don't want him anymore. McLovin, what did you learn?
Ariel Helwani came up with the armbar idea for Fight Island, and I had a joke. If you drink too much air, you tap out.
Okay. Nicely done. I like that. Thank you, McLovin.
All right.
The armbar. I'll take, what do you got on tap here at the armbar? Seton, what'd you learn?
Abu Dhabi, you're in.
What we learned brought to you by Built Bar, simply the best tasting protein bar around. I already had one this morning. 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip. You'll believe me when you taste it. Maybe not. It's that good. BuiltBar.com. Enter the promo code DP for 20% off. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all around support for the entire gang. I'm Dan Patrick. Talk to you tomorrow. One more item as we close out the show. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards that shape like cash, so you already know there's cash inside before you open it. But in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cash back match, and you don't even have to send a thank you note. Cash back match is what it's called, only by Discover Card. You can learn more at discover.com/match. Discover, something brighter.